preach a message tonight. I guess a little different, maybe for me, a little different style of preaching, but this is something the Lord's laid on my heart, and I've been studying about it and thinking about it for several weeks, and don't know how it's going to turn out, but anyway, y'all pray for us, and we'll want to preach a message about staying on course.
Amen.
You know, that's important tonight. Jesus said, enter in at the straight gate.
Yes.
That's where we need to be. That's where we need to have our focus on.
Amen.
In the 14th chapter of John, he says in verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you.
Amen.
I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning, this afternoon. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for your spirit here tonight. God, I just ask you for the anointing to preach this message that you've laid on our heart. Lord, help us tonight, Father, that we be able to present this to this congregation in a way that they could understand and grasp what we're trying to say. God, I ask you to touch hearts here tonight. Lord, just lead, guide, and direct each one of us in the pathway that we need to go in. God, help us to stay on course until we reach our homes. Be with us now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take the message tonight from the 5th and 6th verse. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. Now I want to bring a message from that tonight. It's important to follow the one that knows the way.
Amen.
If you're getting behind somebody that don't know where they're going, Jesus said when the blind follow the blind or lead the blind, they both fall in a ditch. And that's the way you'll be. So many times we find ourselves taking instructions from somebody that maybe don't even know what they're talking about. And I tell you something, you're going to get in trouble when you start doing that. But tonight, I've been thinking about this, like I said, for a few weeks now. And you know, when I was traveling a lot on the road, I used a road map to find my way across this country. I've crisscrossed back and forth from California to New York, from Texas to the Canadian border, and even crossed the border a time or two. And I've been all over the place, and as Hank Snow, I've been everywhere. And if I wasn't there, I tell people, if I wasn't there, it wasn't worth going. I mean, that's just the way. I've been all over the place. But I always use a road map to find my way. And I want you to notice and realize tonight and remember that our Bible makes a good road map. We can find our way if we read the Word of God. If we'll stay in God's Word tonight, it'll tell us how to go. It'll tell us the way to get there. The only thing it don't tell us is how far it is. Now, my road atlas, it would give me a general idea of how far I had to go to reach my destination. I always used a Rand McNally road map. And I'm not selling road maps tonight for Rand McNally, but I just believe that, and I've been off the road now for nearly 20 years, but they made the best road map at the time that I was out there. And I've used a couple other things. I'd lose mine, or it'd get torn up, or I'd leave it someplace. And have to stop and buy another one, and they didn't have what I was looking for, and I bought some of those other things, but to me, it was just generic, and I couldn't find anything, couldn't hardly find my way out of the parking lot where I bought it from. It was kind of like taking my King James Bible and closing it up and opening up an NIV. I've read a few verses in that, and people say I can't understand the King James Version. If you can understand the NIV, you ought to be able to understand anything. I mean, I guess maybe I've got so much King James in my brain that when I read the other kind, I'm trying to read it like this, and it don't read like this, and I get confused and bumfuzzled, and I just close it up and throw it aside. And I tell you, I wouldn't feel a bit bad about burning those things. I don't even call them Bibles. They just no good to anybody. When you start taking things out and changing things around and adding things in, you're changing the whole entire Word of God. They took out the only begotten Son and put in that God gave His only Son. But I want you to know tonight, I'm a son of God, and He didn't give me. And you're sons of God tonight if you're saved by God's grace. He didn't give you either. He gave His only begotten. And that word begotten is very important to be left in there. I don't care what anybody says, but when I was traveling, I'd get my Rand McNally road map, my road atlas, and it had every state, had Canada, had Mexico, it had all that I needed to know in it, and I could take that thing and find my way anywhere that I needed to go. It didn't matter where it was. I'd never been there before, but I had the direction and the instructions, and all I had to do was open it up and start looking, and it would give me directions how to get to where I was going. And like I said, I could buy one of those other kind, and everything was out of place. Everything was backwards and upside down and sideways, and I just couldn't do any good with them. But I found out something about my road atlas when I was driving a truck, and that is that every word in that map means something. Yeah. Every number in that map means something. Every letter on that map means something. There's nothing in that thing that doesn't mean something, and it's important to you. And if you learn how to use one and learn how to use it right and learn how to read it and learn how to use it, then I'll tell you something, it's not a bit hard to find your way around, and it's not hard to go wherever you need to go. And I want to tell you something tonight, this book right here, every word in here is, it means something. Somebody said, wonder why he put that in there. I don't know why he put it in there, but he did, and therefore it's important for you and me to know. Just like that little word begotten, that is an important word, and you may not think it is, but it is. There's a lot of other things in there this evening that God put in there, and people question, and people say, well, if God was writing the Bible today, He'd write it a whole lot different. I think He'd write it just exactly like it's written now, because it was good for all ages. It was good under the law. It was good back during the time of the prophets. It was good during Jesus' day. It's been good ever since Jesus died on the cross. It's good in 2017, and it'll be good when Jesus steps out on the clouds and takes the church home. I tell you, the Word of God, it's just something that God wrote, and you say, well, man wrote it. Yeah, but God dictated it, and man just wrote it down. They was moved upon by the Holy Ghost of God, and they wrote down what God told them to write, and it's very important. And you may read something and say, well, I don't feel like that applies to me. I want to tell you something. If it's in this book, it applies to you. I don't care who you are, don't care what you are, don't care what your status is. Everything in this book applies to everybody that's living on the face of the earth today. And the problem that we have going through this life, and the problem that we have in the world today is that too many people have believed that everything in this book is not for them. I had a preacher friend one time. He told me, "Preacher, you know everything in that book's not for you." I said, "Well, I don't know about that, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm not smart enough to pick out what is and what ain't, so I'm just going to take the whole thing." Hey, if you don't want to, that's your business. But if it's not all for me, I don't know what part isn't, so I'm just going to take that too. And God will have to work that out. But I tell you, people today, they try to slip around and dodge this and dodge that. They read through the Word of God and they're doing real good. They come up on a verse that they just can't hardly live with. And they'll say, "I just don't think that was meant to be in there. That might have been good then, but I tell you, they should have taken that out years ago. I think I'll find me another Bible somewhere that don't have that in it." I bought my wife a real good Schofield King James Bible back in 1971 or 72, I guess it was. I bought myself one and I paid 70 something dollars for mine over here at the Baptist bookstore, and that's a lot of money. That's over a week and a half wages for me, nearly 2 weeks pay that I paid for that Bible. That'd be a lot of money. I mean, I talked to a lady at the bookstore not too long ago. I said, "They still print that Bible?" She said, "Yeah, but we don't stock them because nobody wants them. If you bought one, it'd be $300 or $400. I mean, a nice Bible, got Morocco leather cover on it. You wad that thing up and let it go, and it just comes right back out. I'm telling you, it's the nicest Bible I believe I ever saw." And she said, "I'd like to have one." I said, "It's gonna be a long time before I make enough money to buy you one. I am one of all I could afford. But I got to this man's place of business down in Dixie Lee Junction, and I was went in to call on him where I worked at, and we got to talking about the Bible, and he said the Bible says such and such." I said, "My Bible, I don't think it says that." He said, "Yeah, it does." He pulled out a Bible out of his desk drawer and he started looking. He said, "Well, I can't find it, but I know it's in here. Just wait right here." He lived right behind his station. "Wait right here and I'll be right back. I got one over at the house that I know says that." And I'm telling you, that's the way people are. They got Bibles that prove whatever they want to prove. Just to get the right book and it'll say anything you want it to say. But I got to tell him about my Bible that I bought. And he said, "Well, I got one just like it, but mine's not black. It's red and it's still in a box." And he said, "I don't even like it." I said, "Would you sell it?" He said, "If you got $10, you can have it." I said, "I got $10. You go get it. It's just exactly like mine." And I tell you, God bless there, because that fool didn't want it. I tell you, he didn't know what he got. He kept the one that read the way he wanted it to. And I got the one that read the way God wanted it to. Listen, if you want to stay on course, you stay in the right book.
Amen.
My road atlas, and I'm not here to give you a crash course on road atlases. Most of you have seen one. Might have even used one. But if you're looking at a state on a certain page, and you're looking and you're trying to go maybe 3 or 4 or 5 states over, you can follow that map over to the edge of the page and then you run out of state. But see, on the edge of the page, it gives you a page number, what page to go to continue this. And not only that, but it's broke up in little squares around it. And it's got an alphabet letter, I believe, the best I remember. And you can look at that alphabet, say it's letter number B. And you go to that other page and look at letter B, and you can find the road that you just got off. It'll take you all the way across the United States like that and just guide you and lead you if you know how to use it. That's what it does. Well, that's the same thing that this book right here does for me. It'll lead me. It'll guide me. It tells me where I need to be, where I need to go, and exactly how I need to get there.
Amen.
I'm thankful for my road map. There's an old song that says, "I'm using my Bible for a road map. No detours in heaven. Right. One of these days, heaven will be my last stop.
Amen.
And this book right here is going to guide me till I get there. I tell you, I don't have to worry about being lost, but I tell you something, this book right here will tell me how to be righteous and holy.
Amen.
God's a holy God. I serve a holy God.
Amen.
I serve a righteous God. And this book right here will tell me how to be righteous and holy. This book right here will tell me how I need to live and how I need to walk.
Amen.
This thing right here will keep me straight if I stay straight on it. But when I start pulling stuff out and saying, well, I don't really believe that right there should be in there. One lady one time, I was preaching at church, and I said something about homosexuals. And she said, I just don't think that's right. And she said, I wish you hadn't preached that this morning. I said, why? She said, because I didn't know it before you preached it, and now I'm responsible for it.
Right.
I said, lady, you was responsible for it all your life because the Bible says it, and you're responsible for getting in here and finding out what the Word of God said. If you're only living by what the preacher said, you probably don't have a whole lot, because some preachers don't say very much, and the best preachers in the world can't say enough.
Lord, amen.
We got to read. We got to find out for ourselves. I tell you, that Rand McNally Road Atlas, it'd take you where you wanted to go. But now, if you looked at it wrong, you see, a lot of people look at the Bible wrong. A lot of people read this thing, they read into it what they want to say and not what it actually says. See, the Bible says for the husband to be the head of the house.
Right.
A lot of wives say, well, I think that ought to be changed. I think I'm the head of the house, and he don't need to be the head of the house. You got, I'd say 50 or 60% or more of the marriages in this country today are run like that. And you say, well, you know, that's not right. Well, that's the way we do it, and it works out real good. I don't care how it works out. I don't care how you do it. The Bible said for the wife to be under subjection to her own husband, and the husband be the head of the house, and the husband love the wife the way that Christ loved the church and gave his life for it.
Yes.
Listen, the Bible lays it all out. And we've got a 51% divorce rate in this country because people ain't doing it the way the Bible said to do it.
Amen, brother. Preach it.
You can change it if you want to, but it won't work.
Right.
I tell you, people live in misery. Live in miserable homes, miserable situations and conditions. And it's all because they're not doing what the Bible said to do. They read it and they say, well, I see that's what it said, but I just don't believe that's what it means. I just think that it means, you know, if you want to do it that way, it don't mean nothing of the such. It means do it. Listen, the Bible says what it says. It means what it says. And we have to live like it says. Every letter in this book, every if, and but. I tell you something, you read a verse and leave out an if, an and, or a but, and you could change the whole thing.
Amen.
Every word, every letter, every dot, every comma, every apostrophe, everything in here is in here for a reason.
Right.
Man told me one time, he said, I had a load of freight going to Charlestown, West Virginia. And I don't know how many of y'all been there. Miss Kathy might have been. She probably knows exactly where it's at. I do, been through there a lot of times. He said, you know what? I couldn't find my delivery place on Monday morning. I said, because you was in Charleston, West Virginia. You see, if you don't look at, if you leave that W out, they're both spelled the same way, except one of them got a W, Charlestown, and the other one says Charleston.
Amen.
And this man looked at his bill of lading, looked at his road map, and said, there it is, Charleston, West Virginia. And away he went. Monday morning, he's 350 miles off course. You see, it don't take very much to get us off course. You see what I'm saying? Listen, what I'm preaching tonight, stay on course. We need to stay in the right way and stay walking in the right path. And it don't take very much getting off course to get you a long ways from where you wanted to go.
Amen.
I've been off course a few times. I got up in Illinois. I hated going through Illinois and Wisconsin. I don't like that place up there. People ain't too bad, I guess, but I just don't like all the traffic. Of course, it's Knoxville now. But I tell you, I missed the exit one time, and I didn't realize I'd missed it. I was 50 miles on out to, I said, that exit ought to be coming up here somewhere. I finally stopped and looked at my road atlas, and it said, you already packed it a long time ago. Listen, we get off course, I'd turn around and go back. That's 100 miles or something like that that I drove out of my way for nothing. Just simply because I wasn't watching what I was doing. Listen, if we don't watch what we do, if we don't watch our step, if we don't stay in step with Jesus, if we don't follow Him, listen, we need, Jesus told Thomas when Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and so how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. You get behind me and you're not going to have any problem whatsoever. We need to follow the one that knows the way. That's what we need to be doing tonight.
Amen.
The psalmist said in the 23rd Psalm, in verse 2, he said, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Then the next verse down said, He restoreth my soul, and He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Listen, we need to follow the one that's leading.
Yes.
Jesus is a shepherd. He's leading.
Yes.
And you don't have to follow Him. But it would be to your best interest if you did. Because if you don't follow Him, then you're not going to know the right way. You're going to be just like Thomas. You're going to say, I don't know how to go. Well, you should have kept up. That's what you should have done. You should have followed Jesus, stayed with Him. I tell you something, every time He picks His foot up, I want to put mine right where His was at. I want to just stay right in His footsteps all the way. I want to live a righteous life. I want to try to live a holy life. I want to try to live a dedicated life. And I can't do that aside from you. Using this roadmap that God has given me. I can read in here, and sometimes I read something, I say, hey, I'm not doing that, and I need to be. I didn't realize that's in there. I must have forgot, because I know I read it. Maybe I was half asleep when I read it or something, but I saw it this time, and I'm not doing it now, but by this time tomorrow, I'm going to be doing it. Listen, we don't change the Word of God to fit our life. We change our life to fit the Word of God.
Amen.
No matter how much it hurts. I tell you, these people that's doing everything in the world, and they're doing it wrong, and they're saying it's right. And it's not. Preacher's not preaching the Word of God. Get up and remember Brother Jack, last message he preached here. I'm pretty sure it's the last message. And I saw him when he come through the door. He didn't look real healthy, and he was kind of sickly. I said, Brother Jack, you feel like preaching tonight? Sure enough. And I said, if you don't, that's okay. I can take care of it. He said, no, I'm going to do this. And then he got up here. You remember, he said, Brother Dave tried to shoot me out of the saddle. Asked me if I felt good. He thought I was going to surrender and sit down, but I'm going through with this. See, Brother Jack, he was steadfast.
Amen.
And he was unmovable. I said, Brother, you're going to preach the Word tonight, ain't you? And he stood right up here. He said, I got a Lone Ranger comic book, and if y'all get bored, I'm going to get it out and start preaching out of it. But that's what a lot of people are doing. He was saying that's all just fun. But there's people tonight that's preaching out of everything but the Word of God. And they know better than to do that, but they're doing it anyway. And one day after a while, they're going to stand before God, and He's going to judge them for what they did not preach the Word of God.
Amen.
Preacher said he had a vision or a dream, and said he saw a man running through a fire. Every once in a while, he'd stop and lean over, pull somebody up by the hair of the head and look at him, throw him back down, start running. He said, I said, God, what am I looking at? He said, you're looking at a man running through hell, looking for the preacher that told him everything was all right. Listen, I want to tell you something. There's a lot of people in hell tonight because of false preachers. And those false preachers are, most of them, probably in hell too. And one day their path probably going to cross. And I'll tell you something, it's going to be bad. It's already bad enough, but I'd hate to be in their shoes. Hate to be in their shoes when they're brought out of hell. The Bible said death and hell deliver up the dead which are in them. They stood before the white throne judgment. I'd hate to be there and hear somebody say, look at some preacher and say, you told me I was okay. You told me that was all right. And you knew it wasn't all the time. Listen, I want to tell you something. If I tell you something in error, if I realize it, I'll apologize to you. If you can show me, I'll apologize to you. I'm not too big to do that. I tell you, I want to preach it right. I want to preach it straight. I want to preach it strict. I want to preach it just as righteous and holy as I know how to. I want to try to help people to live for God in the way that God set for them to live and do the things that He said to do. We've got to stay on course.
Amen.
Got to stay on course. Don't take very much to get you way off. I tell you, people today, I see them all the time. I've got family. I've got friends. I've got family members that don't even go to church. Uncles and aunts and cousins. They'll talk religion with you all day long. They've not darkened a church door in so long. They don't even know what the inside of a church looks like. But they sure talk religion. I tell you something, they know they ain't right with God. They're trying to convince me they are. And I tell you something, and I don't know if they're saved or not. I'm not their judge. But I tell you something, if you can stay out of God's will and stay out of God's house for very much time, I'm going to have to put you in that lost category. Because I tell you something, I got something when I got saved that tugs me and pulls me toward the house of God.
Amen.
Man walking down the road one day saw a little boy flying a kite or holding a string. He said, what are you doing, son? He said, I'm flying a kite. The man looked up there. He said, I don't see no kite. He said, I don't either. He said, how you know it's up there? He said, I can feel it tugging on this string.
Amen.
Plumb out of sight, but I can feel it pulling on this string.
Yes.
I tell you, that's the way Jesus does me. I can't see Him. He's out of sight, but He's pulling on my heartstrings. He gets me up on Sunday morning, brings me to the house of God. He brings me back Sunday night. He brings me back Wednesday night. He's tugging on my heart. He's pulling at me. And I tell you, He's letting me know that He's still there. Even though everything in my life may not be like I'd like for it to be, He pulls on that heartstring and says, I'm still here and everything's still alright. We need to stay close to the Lord. Stay with Jesus. I tell you, people today, they try to convince you that you're right when they know that the things they're doing is not right. I hear people sometimes, they don't call it cursing. I guess technically maybe it's not, I don't know, but the least you can get by with, it's swearing. And the Bible says to swear not to. So it don't matter what you call it, you can disguise it any way you want to. And you know what? When you get it disguised and get it all dressed up, it's still sin. I don't care what you call it. Jesus said, swear not by the heaven, for it's God's throne. Swear not by the earth, for it's His footstool. Swear not by the hair of your head, because every one of them numbered. That's three times He said, don't swear. And people say, well, I'm not cussing, I'm just swearing. Well, it's still wrong. We try to make right out of wrong, and you can't take something that's wrong and just saying it's right doesn't change nothing. Don't change anything. The Bible said in Psalms chapter number 25, verse 4, He said, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Listen, I want to walk in the path of righteousness. Jeremiah, I guess it was, he said, seek, stand in the way, and ask for the old path.
Amen.
And when you find it, walk therein.
Yeah.
Listen, people, and you know what the people said? We're not going to walk that way. We're not going to do that way. We've got people in this world today. Churches are full of people that stand around saying, I'm not asking for the old way. And if I did, I wouldn't walk in it. That's old fogey way. That's the way grandma used to do it. That's the way they did it back when years ago, 100 years ago, that might have been okay. But preacher, we're in 2017. And I said, yeah, but God is still the same. He ain't never changed.
Amen.
Amen.
Woman heard me preach one night. Said, people don't like that kind of preaching. They preach, you preaching like they did when I was a little girl. I said, praise God. That, I'm preaching like them old timey preachers did. That's exactly what I'm going to do. Listen, I'm not in no popularity contest. I don't expect to be embraced by everybody that comes along. I mean, that's not going to happen, and I don't expect it to happen. And if I tried my best to make it happen, it still wouldn't happen. So I'm just going to stay right with God and let everybody else, they can just stay where they want to.
Amen.
We need to ask the Lord, show me your path. Amen. Let me walk in that thing. I want to be where you're at. I tell you, the disciples went up on the mountain of transfiguration with Jesus. He took two of them up there, or three of them, maybe James and John and Peter, but I know Peter and John for sure. And they got up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. That's the way I feel when I come to the house of God. I come in here and I say, God, it's good for me to be here. Hallelujah. I thank God that He gave me another opportunity, another privilege to come into His house. Every time that I get that privilege, there's been some times that I've not been able to come. Not very many times, but a few times. There's been times I've laid homesick. And I just lay at the house and I know what y'all doing. I can look at my watch. I say, well, the choir's assembled. They're singing. Now they're down out of the choir and somebody's special singing. And I just look at my watch, and now somebody's preaching, and I ain't there. And then I keep looking. I say, after a while, I say, well, I guess they're out now. All of a sudden, my phone rings. Miss Carol, I want to know if I need anything. Listen, I know what's going on, even when I ain't here, for the most part. Maybe that ain't good. Maybe we need to break that mold and do some things different. But I tell you something. What I'm saying tonight is when I'm not here, I miss it. I don't know how people can just stay at home continually all the time and not miss going to the house of God. But I'm preaching tonight, stay on course. We need to stay with Jesus. We need to stay and walk in the pathway that Jesus walked. We need to walk up Calvary where Jesus walked. We need to walk down Calvary. We need to walk with Him and talk with Him and let Him tell us that we're one of His own.
That's right.
A lot of people today, they don't want to use a road map. A lot of you here don't know what a Rand McNally Road Atlas is because you've had a GPS all your life. I like my GPS. I use it. And sometimes it works pretty good. But sometimes it don't work so good.
Amen.
I've had that thing get me lost. That thing took me up a man's driveway up in Union County. He said, I bet the man lived there. He said, I bet you're following a GPS. I said, I am. He said, it brings everybody up here to my house. It's a driveway. And it said it was a road. He said, the road used to be here, but it's been gone for 50 years. It's not here anymore. He said, you need to turn around and go back. And he'd give me directions how to get to where I was going. We used to live over here in North Knoxville a few years, and we'd get out on Millertown Pike. I'd punch in home in that thing, and it'd tell me to turn on Love Creek Road out there to the left. Love Creek Road don't turn to the left. It turns to the right and goes Rutledge Pike. One day I told Sister Carol, I'm going to just turn left and see where it goes. Yeah. I turned left, and it was just a little blacktop, then it was gravel, then it was nothing. That's where my GPS tried to send me every single time. I knew it wasn't right. One man got down in Nashville with his family. It took him down in a real bad neighborhood. And he said, we just about got attacked before we could get out there. That road atlas took us there, or that GPS, and we didn't have a clue where we was at. Listen, those things, they're pretty good, but you got to watch them because sometimes they don't know when the road roads shut down. They don't know when things change. They don't know as much as you think they do. So you better have a pretty good idea your own self before you start following after one of them. They'll take you the long way around too.
Yeah.
I'm punching my GPS, go to Lenore City or somewhere. It'll bring me all the way to Knoxville and take me all the way down Interstate 40, twice as far. All I got to do is cut through Hardin Valley and I'm almost there. I mean, it don't know everything. It's not the smartest thing in the world like people think it is. I kind of like my road map and I'm going to stick with it. People today, they try to find preaching. They say, I stay home, watch preachers on TV. They'll get you lost. That's like GPS. They'll get you lost. I'd rather come to the house of God and get involved in the service and hear some preaching and teaching and singing. Listen, I've watched it on TV. It don't do nothing for me. It's good entertainment. That's about it. I don't feel nothing watching that on TV. I mean, if you're shut in, can't do no better, I guess that'd be all right. Good for maybe. But I tell you something. I want to be involved in this thing. I got to be involved. There's some people following that GPS and they don't know where they're going. According to an interview that they had with an airplane pilot, they asked him, if you got 1 degree... off course, flying your airplane. How far off course when you reach your destination will you be? Well, it depends on how far you're going, obviously. But he said, 1 degree. Now, you turn around, halfway around, this is 180 degrees. A full circle is 360 degrees. So you split a full circle into 360 degrees. Points, and one of those is 1 degree. That's how far it is. This is 90 degrees. 1 degree ain't nothing. He said, you get 1 degree off flying an airplane. He said, every mile you fly, you get off 92 feet. Now you do the math. You fly from here to Los Angeles, 2,000 miles, say. That's what it is driving anyway. It may be a little less than that. But you figure 2,000 miles, and you're getting off 92 feet every mile. Time you get there and you divide that by 5,280. I know because I did this before I came to church tonight. You're going to be between 35 and 40 miles off the time you get there. You're not even going to hit anywhere near Los Angeles. You're going to miss the whole city. You'll probably wind up out in the Pacific Ocean somewhere. 1 degree is all it takes to get way off.
Amen.
And getting 1 degree off of following Jesus on His course, you say, well, this ain't going to hurt me too bad. It'll get you off so bad by the time you get to your destination, you won't even recognize where you're trying to be.
Amen, brother.
1 degree, and that ain't much. But I tell you, it don't take much to mess up everything. It don't take much. Listen, we need to stay on course. We need to stay with Jesus. We need to stay on course. We need to stay true. And we need to be righteous and holy. Even in 2017.
Amen.
I don't care what anybody says. They can disagree if they want to. That's fine. Now, most people do. Most people say, well, we're not serving a holy God now. Well, I'm glad I am. If you're not serving a holy God, you're not serving the right God. I tell you, my God is holy. He said, be ye holy even as I'm holy. And I tell you something, we need to walk in righteousness. We need to walk in holiness. And I don't care what year it is, God is the same.
Amen.
Malachi chapter 3, He said, I'm God and I change not.
Amen.
The Bible said Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I tell you, that they're always going to be the same.
Yes.
Nothing going to change about God. I tell you something today, church. If we just get just 1 degree off, my, you'll be thrown off so bad by the time you get to where you're going, it won't even be funny. And I tell you, we need to watch about that. We need to stay on course tonight. We need to plot a course and stay with it. And whatever this book says, I don't care what it says, everything that it says, we need to do it. We need to look in here and say, well, let's see now. I'm not doing this. I need to be. Some things I look in here and I say, uh-oh, I'm doing this. And he said, don't. So you know what? I got to quit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to quit in degrees. I'm going to quit right now. When I realize that I'm doing something wrong, I need to stop immediately before I go any farther. Don't need to just keep coasting and keep saying, well, I'm slowing down. I'm gonna quit here. Listen, you need, when you realize that you're on the wrong course, you need to stop right now. Because you will get so messed up that you won't even have a clue where you're at or where you're going. Listen, we need to stay on course. Stay with it. Stick with the stuff. Stay on course with Jesus. Walk with Him. There's an old song we used to sing, said, let me walk with you, Jesus. Let me walk with you. I want to walk with Him. I want Him to be close to me. I tell you something, if He's not close to you tonight, you're the one that walked away from Him, because He didn't walk away from you. He didn't walk away from you. He told James and John, He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And immediately they laid down their nets. He found one of them mending the, or throwing a net into the sea, and He said, follow me. And they just walked off and left it. Found the sons of Zebedee on their father's ship mending the nets. Can you imagine what Zebedee must have thought? What would your dad think? What would your mom think if a total stranger walks by you and you're in a business with your dad and you're mending nets and y'all got a fishing business, and this total stranger walks by and points at you and your brother and says, follow me. And you say, Dad, I got to go. And you just lay down the net and leave it with him, the hired hand, and say, we're going. He said, where are you going? I'm following that fellow. Who is that? I don't know. He said, follow him. But, you know, you see what I'm saying? That would be a hard thing for me to do. And it'd be a hard thing for me to stand and watch my sons walk off. Something like that's a bad situation. But listen, Jesus, He had something about Him that just drawed them. But when He said, follow me, that's what they did all the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And John even followed Him all the way to Calvary. And they lived for Him. After He resurrected, they went the same way that He went. They lived for Him till the day they died. Most of them martyred. Most of them crucified, burned at the stake, burned in boiling oil, cut in two, run through with swords, ripped apart with horses and all manner of things that was done to them. But they followed Jesus right up to that time. Listen, I want to follow Jesus until I pick my foot up down here and set it down over yonder. I want to follow Him all the way to the pearly gates. I want to tell you something, then I'm going to close. If you came to this altar and you almost got saved, you're still lost. If you come to this altar and you went through all the motions of getting saved, but you just didn't surrender your heart to Jesus completely, you're lost. See, you missed it, what I'm saying. You missed it 1 degree, maybe 2 degrees. But you know what that's going to cause? When the pearly gates swing open wide, you're not going to be anywhere near them, because you're off course. See what I'm saying? We need to come back and get on course and stay on course. And stay with Jesus. That's the message. While they come tonight and get us a song ready. Father, we thank You for giving us the privilege to stand tonight. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to preach one more time. Lord, I thank You for the strength, the health. Lord, I ask You, Father, to take this message, Lord, and just use it for to draw somebody to Calvary. Lord, use it tonight to cause somebody to think about if they're off course or not. Lord, help us tonight, Father, I pray. God, You just guide our lives, our homes, our marriages, our jobs. Lord, just guide us in every aspect of our life, because we don't know what we need, but You know everything that we need. God, I ask You just to help tonight. Bless in Jesus' name during this invitation. In Christ's name, amen. While we stand tonight, while we sing the number.